This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, April 4th, 2011. I'm Caleb Brown. When is tax revenue not collected property of the state? And under what circumstances should you be able to spend your own money on religious education? These issues are at the heart of a new Supreme Court ruling on education tax credits in Arizona. Adam Schaefer, education policy analyst at the Cato Institute, comments.
The Supreme Court overturned a Ninth Circuit decision and upheld the right of taxpayers to essentially do what they wish with their own money. Unfortunately, the Ninth Circuit had ruled that they couldn't take a credit from the government, a waiver of their obligation to pay taxes, and spend that money supporting the education of children in religious schools. Today, the Supreme Court vacated that decision.
Now, this is a debate that you guys have with school choice people within the school choice movement all the time between vouchers and tax credits. Vouchers do pass through the doors of government, and the money that will be used for vouchers does pass through the doors of government and then is delegated back to parents. Tax credits are monies that never actually go to the government at all, and yet there are four members of the Supreme Court who say, because that's the case, we don't think you should be able to use this money in a way that you see fit.
That's right. Four justices, the liberal wing, so to speak, voted the opposite, that taxpayers can't direct their own money in the way that they see fit. This is really an overlooked distinction between vouchers and credits, and you stated it perfectly. Vouchers are government funds. They go through the government and are dispersed by them. Tax credits are actually money dispersed by the taxpayer or earned them. It's a major distinction in principle, I think, and in legal terms. And I'd really call this a super Zelman decision. Zelman is the famous Supreme Court decision that upheld a voucher program. And it said if there's an intervening choice, if the family is deciding what school to send their child to, there is no entanglement of church and state. It's the parent making that decision, not the government. In this case, all those distinctions about Zelman apply, but there are multiple additional layers in between that decision by the government and the taxpayer. The taxpayer retains control over their own money that they earned, and in contrast to a voucher program, allows some discretion on the part of taxpayers. It actually gives them some accountability to taxpayers in addition to families in the program, and I think it's an important distinction, not only for legal reasons.
Justice Elena Kagan, who wrote the main dissent here, along with the New York Times and some other media outlets, cast this as a tax credit plan that supports religious schools upheld by Supreme Court. You would cast it as?
Supreme Court makes a common sense decision that taxpayers own the money that they earn, not the state. It's true that this program does support children's the choice of families to go to religious schools, but it's the taxpayer choosing to send their money to these scholarship organizations that allow that. It's also the case that most private schools are religious for the simple reason that the government has a virtual monopoly on secular education. So it's no surprise that the people choosing to go outside of the system largely choose religious schools. That said, there are many secular choices. And those do expand in response to this kind of program.
Now, the GI Bill is fairly uncontroversial, but returning soldiers can take that money, or soldiers who are not engaged in wartime activities can take that money and go to whatever school they want. Is that basically the same thing?
The GI Bill and other grants from the government are essentially voucher programs for higher ed. There's also a Hope Scholarship Tax Credit, which is essentially an education tax credit for higher education as well. It is unremarkable in higher education. Liberals tend to support that kind of program quite a lot. In fact, Bill Clinton, I believe, was the one who promoted most aggressively the Hope Scholarship Tax Credit in the 90s. So it is kind of odd. But the fact is that K-12 public education is something that many Democrats and liberals see as something different, I think, because they're forming how young minds think. And they want the state to be able to do that rather than just families.
Now, Justice Kagan wrote basically in her opinion, let's say the state wants people to have more crucifixes in their homes. What's the difference between paying people to buy them, creating an explicit subsidy to people to do it, or creating a tax credit? She argues that taxpayers then, among those three options, maintain nonetheless a standing, as it were, to say, look, I have a beef with this.
Well, there is an exception allowing taxpayers to challenge laws on the basis of the Establishment Clause. In the case of the crucifix and the government somehow giving a credit, I suppose, for a religious item, that would be specifically promoting, in the case of a crucifix, one kind of religion. Even if it just supported religious paraphernalia, it's still promoting religious over secular things. The only thing I could think of that would be equivalent is if there were somehow a tax credit for decorative items in one's home. I don't think that would violate the First Amendment either, because you could buy a poster of a kitten hanging on a branch or a crucifix with it. That's what this credit program does, is it simply says, if you wish to support some kind of education, you can get a tax credit for it. It doesn't mandate that it be religious. And it's surprising to me that any Supreme Court justice would make that absurd of an argument that's plainly contradictory to the facts of the case.
Adam Schaefer is an education policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Read more of his work at cato.org.